Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it? What am I talking about? Well, of course I'm talking about, I guess right now you call it the impeachment inquiry on Trump, started by Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. That's what this episode's about. I want to get this out there. I doubt it will be very long, but it's a quick look at why I do feel people, well, a few things. They shouldn't dismiss this as another witch hunt, one. Two, people who might want Trump impeached, or shall we say, aren't the biggest fans of Trump, shouldn't also dismiss it because the other, I guess, attacks on Trump's character and office have failed before. This time is different. And three, just some final thoughts about impeachment in general, and just things maybe to ponder while this is going on. So first of all, summary. The president of the Ukraine Trump is accused of pressuring this president, this foreign leader, into investigating a political rival for their own gain. You know, right now, Ukraine is embroiled in a conflict with Russia over their own sovereignty, and the U.S. has pledged support, a lot of support, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in support. Now, I need to make a point right away about this support. The issue, really, besides the obvious corruption concerns, is that Congress is the one who approved this aid. So the president, a different branch, said, hold aid Congress approved. That's not the president's right. Just right off the bat, we've got to be clear about that. That that's not the president's right to withhold aid Congress decides we will give. And furthermore, to do so in exchange for something that will directly aid the president, not the country. That's the core of the issue here, right? And we'll have to wait and see what's true, what's not true. So I want to be clear that I'm not like showing any backing for any side on this. I'm just saying that's what the concern is. The concern is, can a president basically divert Congress's will and do so for his own political gain, not just to help the country in an emergency? Is Congress equal, right? Are these branches co-equal? That's really what's going on here, because they're supposed to be, at least, or at least they used to supposed to be co-equal. That was the original vision of the United States. Now let's start talking about why I believe everyone should not be so quick to dismiss this. I know people call Trump one of those Teflon presidents that nothing seems to stick to him. And to people on the left, especially the far left, they're probably asking themselves, why should we expect any of this to work ever? Nothing's worked. And, you know, a lot of people think of him as the most horrible person on earth. So if the most horrible person on earth, if that's how you think of Trump, can get away with so many things, why should I even care about this, right? And then on the right, you have the quick dismissal to say this is just part of the greater witch hunt. Well, here's the thing, though. This isn't Russia. So that's one reason this is different this time. You can't say this is the same Russian witch hunt. It isn't. It's Ukraine. And in fact, I want to drill in on that a little bit. One reason a lot of people on the right are probably so quick to dismiss the Russian witch hunt narrative, to support the narrative of that it was a witch hunt, is that it started so early and just never stopped, right? It started in the election, people accusing Trump of being in cahoots with Russia. He wasn't even president yet, and people were just hammering him and hammering him and hammering him. And it kept going, and it keeps going. And then, well, frankly, if you ask my opinion, Mueller's report was a big deal, actually outline how you might impeach him if you want to punish him and the crimes you would charge him with. It just wasn't that. It just took so long to get to not having, shall we say, a damning tape that you can listen to. There was no damning tape for all of the hubbub for years that it felt like, even if you could argue what Trump did was bad. I mean, basically, the Democrats, or at least, should I say, MSNBC, set up everyone for a big letdown if it wasn't like Trump in the library with the candlestick with blood on his hands and a picture of him killing someone. You know, if it wasn't that bad, people were going to think it wasn't that bad. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is this is brand new, publicized quickly, a different country, and in fact, the timing is also horrible. That's another thing that I think some people are overlooking. This happened, I believe, a day after Mueller's testimony. Basically, as the Mueller probe was ending, it's one could perceive this as Trump just went out and tried to bring another country in to mess with the U.S. elections, to mess with the electoral process. Thus, and this is an argument I know the Democrats will make as they proceed with impeachment, he just did this right after he got away with Russia. He's going to keep doing this. So unlike the Russian investigation, which where half of it was before he was president and then after, and it took a long time to confirm everything, this is confirmed quickly, and it's the second thing, thus inferring he's going to keep doing this with other countries. So we have to stop him now. See, before, if it already happened and there wasn't evidence that Trump was going to keep pulling this BS, you can make the argument, what's the point in impeaching Trump if it's not going to work, if he's not going to be removed from office, and if he's probably already been damaged by it? This is about stopping future attempts to meddle with American elections. So it's another reason this one will probably stick more than Russia. And this is a huge point. Frankly, one reason this time, you know, the Ukrainian investigation will be different from the Russian one is that it's so easy to understand. It's so easy to pinpoint exactly what went wrong. See, with the Russia investigation, the FBI had to look into some pretty serious allegations, but a lot of times it felt like no one was sure what the allegations even were. Was there quid pro quo? Was there collusion? Was there obstruction of justice? Was there this? Was there that? There were so many things people were looking into that it was like, well, what are we even really investigating? That's not the case here. This is all going to be about, did Trump pressure a foreign power with taxpayer money that wasn't even up to him to withhold? Did he use that power to try to get dirt on an opponent that would benefit him, not the country? That's very easy to understand. You know, this is in like a, you know, Boardwalk Empire, an HBO show, you know, Nucky Thompson calling, well, we can approve paying, you know, for this row, you know, we can approve funding this public works project if you look and have this guy look into my opponent. You know, that's a very easy to understand circumstance. It's textbook corruption. It's happened, you know, thousands of times all over the world. People get it. And it's easy to prove if it happened. A few people can say, did Trump order this? Yes, here's the proof he ordered it. And then they can also play one recording. You don't need dozens of recordings. You don't need to take, you know, you don't read a high school textbook to understand what's going on. It's just, here's the recording. This is what he's accused of. So yeah, let's summarize why it's different. This time it's different because it's, number one, very easy to understand. Unfortunately, that might be the biggest reason, is because it's so easy to sell it on the people. Easy to understand and easy to prove, and you know what you're trying to prove. There's no probe seeing how big the conspiracy is. We know what we're accusing them of, and we can prove it real quickly. That's number one. Number two, this didn't happen before the election, and there hasn't been MSNBC hyping it up for 2 years straight. There's no overhyping this, and it hasn't gone on forever. It's blown up quickly. And it happened after the Russia investigation, thus inferring that Trump, when he got away with one crime, if you believe he did, or at least that's how they'll sell this, they'll say, well, Trump gets away with one crime, he tries to get away with it again, right away with another country. This isn't about punishing him for something he did before he was president. This is about preventing him from doing it again. That's number two, and it's a very, very big deal. And then number three is just in general, that it isn't Russia. I know I kind of say that when I sum up the other points, but the fact that it's not Russia, that you can't make the argument this is the same BS they keep accusing him of, you know, it may be Russian adjacent, but it's a different country. It's a sexy new story. It's not the same story everyone's tired of hearing. Those are the big three reasons. Easy to understand. You're preventing things from happening in the future, not just punishing him before he was president. And three, it's just not Russia. And I do make that its own point. So now let's get into part two. Why I don't think this should be dismissed as it's not going to go anywhere. And you see people like Bill Maher dismissing it like, well, they're not, you know, Democrats aren't going to do their job and Trump's not going to play ball. And then you see people on the right saying, you know, well, there's nothing they can do anyways. The Senate's not going to remove him from office. Well, let's talk about that part first, actually. The goal isn't necessarily to remove him from office by the Senate voting. I believe that the Democrats in the House will get enough votes to be able to impeach him. Now, impeach does not mean remove from office. And you might say, well, if you can't remove him from office with the power of the Senate, then why does this even matter? And an election's coming, people. It's a year away. There's an election in 2020 for the next president. And this can buy the Democrats enough brownie points to be just about as good as if the Senate votes him out anyways. Right? The perception you might see if there is a, and let's be clear, let me say again, we need to hear the tape. We need a little bit more investigating. So I'm not saying this is going to happen at all. And I'm not saying he's necessarily guilty quite yet. Right? That's not what I'm saying, but this is the assumption, you know, let's say it is damning and he does look guilty. The Democrats get it through the House. Does anyone here understand how bad it would look if Mitch McConnell, you know, leader of the Senate, didn't bring it to a vote or didn't start the trial to see if they should remove him from office? I mean, you can't think of a better marketing slogan for the Democrats to get more seats in all, you know, in the Senate and the House than saying the Republicans are defending a guilty man. The Democrats can say we did our job. We impeached him. The Senate Republicans aren't doing their job. Vote him out of office. This is exactly what the Democrats need, assuming Trump's guilty. And that's why Nancy Pelosi changed her mind, I believe. It wasn't just that it got to a fever pitch in her own party of how fed up people were that she wasn't pushing forward with impeachment. It was that she probably realized this one does look bad and it's easy to understand. If we can at least impeach him in the House, this is a huge marketing slogan that we are doing our jobs. Because if she wouldn't have moved forward with this, I mean, Democrats could have been completely disillusioned next year and gone, you know, why does it even matter if we vote? The Democrats don't do anything anyways. Frankly, that's what I was saying about them, and I'm not a Democrat. And I'm just, but it's very frustrating, I have to be honest here, a little bit with my opinion here, people, that seeing that happen of just like, well, I mean, objectively, you can say if you're going to keep accusing him of being Hitler and of doing this, it's like, well, then do your jobs. Not saying they should impeach him or not, right? What I'll say, though, is if you're going to accuse a guy of something, follow through with that accusation. It looks so stupid. Doesn't it? Anyways, get a little off subject there. One reason I'm acting very much so like this is impeachment, which everyone here maybe is freaking out at me by now, clawing at their face saying they haven't even started impeachment, it's an inquiry, is how dumb this would look if Nancy Pelosi called it off. If you go to major news websites like the New York Times, you just see giant typeface at the top of every website, and proceeding with impeachment inquiry. If you ask the average voter, they would probably say they think he's being impeached already. It would look ridiculous if they do an inquiry, Trump looks bad, and then they don't proceed with impeachment. So that is one thing I want to say. We need the inquiry to move forward, and we need more information. But I don't think people should just dismiss that this isn't already basically started. Right? That's what I'm saying. Is I know it's just an inquiry, but the political damage to the Democrats, you know, the damage they would do to their own party if they started this inquiry. You had every website saying this is a big deal. You have most Americans thinking it's already an impeachment, and then they call the whole thing off. It would just look horrible. So barring some revelation coming out that shows this is completely false, that there is no, you know, anything, which I believe I've just read a story that shows that there are people listening to the recording already, so I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think this is pretty much as good as the Democrats are going to try to impeach him. So that's another point I'm making here, and don't dismiss this part of the podcast. I think this is just going to move forward. I do. And those are the reasons why. And I've already touched on why it would help the Democrats probably in 2020, even if the Senate Republicans don't bring it to a vote, you know, don't start the trial. I also want to talk about why I wouldn't be so sure the Republicans won't bring it to a trial. Now, I don't know if they'll vote to remove him from office. I doubt it, to be honest, guys and gals. But what I will say is the Republicans realize how bad it would look if the House overwhelmingly voted to impeach Trump and they didn't at least hold a trial to remove him from office. It would look so bad. So it's not just that the Democrats think it will make them look good. The Republicans know it will make them look bad. I mean, imagine the smear campaign of just, you know, Mitch McConnell, like I said, defending a guilty man. The Republicans get that, too. And if you go and look at what a lot of Republican lawmakers are saying, they seem to be hedging their bets way more than before. You don't see nearly as many statements of Republicans just kind of acting like, well, let's, you know, I don't think he did it. I think this is a waste of time. No, they're all saying, well, let's see what happens. They know this one's probably going to go further. And if it does get there, I think they understand how bad they would look if they didn't at least hold a trial. Whether they remove Trump from office is immaterial. So yeah, I guess that's my point. The Democrats don't need to remove Trump from office with this impeachment, with impeachment proceedings, to get a de facto benefit of him being removed from office, because an election's coming soon anyway. So if they just make him look bad enough, they can just get someone else in the White House. And I think Pelosi understands that. And I think Republicans will understand that if this looks super, super, super bad, and it's provenly bad, that they will definitely lose their, have a high chance of losing their seats, losing their power in 2020, if they don't okay a trial. So I think this is going to go far. That's what I'm saying, people. I do think this is going to go somewhere. Not saying he's going to be removed from office, but I think there's a high likelihood that this becomes a real impeachment proceeding, a decent chance that he gets impeached in the House. And I don't know if it's likely. Like, you know, I'm not going to put any numbers on it, but I wouldn't dismiss the fact that this might become a full trial in the Senate as well. I just wouldn't dismiss it. The optics are why I wouldn't dismiss it. And the final part of this podcast, I just kind of want to talk about some closing thoughts on impeachment and how much power the executive branch has. Dan Carlin said a couple years ago, it feels like, well, we are still a democracy. We're a democracy where one side elects their own dictator every 4 to 8 years. And that he doesn't know if that's how we really want this system to work. And that's how it feels, doesn't it? You know, Obama got elected, passed a bunch of stuff most people on the right didn't want, shoved it through. You know, he had a supermajority in Congress. And whether it was right or wrong, I don't know, for him to do, you know, Obamacare and all this other stuff. But he basically shoved a bunch of policies down the right's throat. And now the right is shoving a bunch of policies down the left's throat with, you know, removing EPA regulations. There's all this stuff that everyone thought was done. I mean, I gotta admit, I agree with Dan. I don't know if this is sustainable. Just one side getting a dictator that tries to undo everything back and forth and just shoves things down the other side's throat. The cycle has to stop. And I believe the cycle stops by the executive branch not being so goddamn powerful. After 9/11, we awarded the executive branch immense power. Immense power, it already, you would argue, had too much. Too much power it got from the nuclear age and giving the president all these powers so that he could respond quickly if Russia tried to nuke the U.S. I don't know if we want a God King. I don't think either side should want that. And I guess I'll say this. This is why I think it is important for there to be a very real inquiry into this impeachment. You know, looking into if Trump really did this. Because, and I'm trying as hard as I can to be objective, but we just got to say it. I don't think it should be okay for the president to directly counteract everything every other branch does, thus making the other branches de facto not that important if the president can just do whatever she or he wants. And I don't think the president should just be able to, even if we can vote them out of office, have so much power that they can basically invite foreign intervention when they want. It's not enough to be able to vote someone out of office. There do need to be limits on what they can do once they sneak in there. Just something to think about. Do we really want God kings? Do we really want, because if you say, I like my man or woman to be as powerful as they can be so they can get things done that I want them to get done, just keep in mind they won't be there forever. And then the other side will come in and they will enact so many things you don't want. Stuff to think about, people. All right. Thank you. Flyover States, Political Views Across the U.S. is brought to you by me, Tom, of Moore's Law is Dead and Flyover States. If you like my content, please consider supporting me on Patreon. You can find Flyover States there, and there will be a link in the description. I don't have any fancy tiers or goals, just the assumption that if you like my content, you'll pay me for what it's worth. That's all it's there for. It really does go a long way.